Good afternoon, Daniel.
Good evening, Jared. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It was a long day, but now it is evening, not afternoon, so here we are.
Debatable. And hello to everyone listening. All two of you. Hello, Mom. Well, and
Yeah,
there's
hi, Mom.
the audit. No. So today, topics. Our topics, goodness. They are a little bit more topical, I guess. The last one we recorded, we had a really good energy with, we thought, and we wanted to move kind of in that direction and move with that momentum. So we kind of chose a more topical one rather than necessarily just following the book like we had been. So this one is actually on imports and exports and import-export tariffs, just information about them and how we use them. So Daniel, you're gonna start us off today.
Yeah, so like you said, we did have a great energy last time, and I'm pretty excited for this. This is one of those fun ones to research because you kind of find things out maybe you didn't know. And I say that because I'm talking about exports and export tariffs, which are not very common. So it's kind of one of those things I didn't know a lot before I researched it, and it was just really exciting to research, and I'm excited to talk about it. So I guess export taxes just kind of to explain them, they're a tax on a good you would export to disincentivize the export of that good. And there are several reasons generally cited for a tax on that. I guess I'll just tell you the reasons right away. It's used to prevent shortages, to protect the environment, and to create government revenue. So I want to address the first one, which is generally used to prevent shortages. And I do have an example of this one, and it's India. So in 2007, India proposed a tariff on rice exports to prevent food shortages. So at the time, India was the second biggest producer and exporter of rice in the world, and they were worried that they would have a rice shortage. So they decided, hey, let's disincentivize the export of rice. And to do that, they introduced a tariff or a tax on rice exports. And I kind of want to talk about the general effect because, like I said, they use that to prevent a shortage. And the general effect of introducing an export tariff, specifically in a larger country, so they were the second largest producer of rice, second only to China at the time. So generally with a larger country, a larger producer like them, they will decrease the price domestically while the world price for that good tends to go up. So we talked about demand and supply and demand a couple weeks ago, and this is one of those examples. When you introduce this export tariff, people are disincentivized from exporting the good, as I've already mentioned. The result is that people domestically will sell domestically, and people in the international market won't necessarily import either. And that's because the price will be lower because of all the domestic producers. This is especially true of, like I said, large producers. So in India, they were one of the world's largest rice producers. So they kind of were flooded with the supply, which of course reduces the price, and it also disincentivizes production. So if you're only marginally profitable before the tariff and you were exporting, then suddenly when you have a ton of supply domestically and you're no longer making as much money, you will not produce. So actually, this tariff didn't necessarily last too long. It was actually reduced. However, it did have also the effect of increasing government revenue because they were still one of the world's largest rice producers. The world price went up, so it still made it worthwhile for some people to export, and then that was taxed and that became government revenue very quickly. I want to talk about the other reason, aside from shortages and government revenue, which is to protect the environment. So I was trying to see I was hopeful to see, whether or not we had a bee export tax. I wanted to see if there were, because one of our natural resources in the United States and in North America in general, I think this is commonly known, the honeybee is dwindling. They're having problems. So I kind of expected to see, we do sell bees, we do buy bees. We're one of the biggest suppliers of bees. We export them, which was bizarre to find out.
That
But
is a weird stat.
I actually couldn't find any export tariffs on that, so maybe we should expect to see that in the next few years. I don't know. But a lot of countries will put export taxes on natural resources. A lot of maybe lumber. I know in New England, I think at one point there were export taxes on lumber. Some of the most prolific examples of export taxes were actually in the American colonies when Britain banned a lot of exports or just taxed them very heavily for the most profitable businesses. So, for instance, the colonies had a competitive advantage when it came to lumbering and a lot of mining and even milling. So, they would introduce taxes so that those jobs wouldn't be lost in Britain. So, that's one of those things where Britain clearly knew it wasn't good for the colonies, but it was great for Britain. So they did that, and that's kind of why we don't really see export taxes as much now, because it is generally a poor reflection of the government. And since most countries don't really have colonies to do that to, they can't really get away with it with their constituents. So that was kind of my brief synopsis of export taxes. There's not a whole lot to it just because it hasn't been super prolific.
Right. Yeah, that was interesting when you talked about the environmental effect. My immediate thought was, if we did get a Green New Deal or something of the sort, we are self-sufficient on oil. Well, if the United States is going to shift off of gas, fossil fuel cars, then we might see an export tariff as well on us exporting the oil because, hey, if it's all about the environment, just because we don't burn it here doesn't mean it's not getting burned somewhere else and so on and so forth. It's still bad for the environment. So it might not be far-fetched to see an export tariff in the future on
Yeah.
fuel.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The United States doesn't really do export taxes rather. We do exports, thankfully. We don't we don't have a lot of export taxes. And again, that is because it does look really bad. It is pretty much a competition killer. It does not reflect well on whoever passes that, and they tend to not get voted back into office. So you're right, it may arise when it comes to natural resources. That seems like a good area where they could kind of maybe get away with it and have reasons other than, creating jobs. It could be to save our natural resources. So maybe we will see that in the future, but as of now, we don't know what that looks like.
Yeah. So I'm gonna, I feel like this is a good point to interject that, again, economics tells us what is efficient and what happens when you mess with the market, but not necessarily what is good or what is right. So I would not support an export tariff, but if if you did want to protect the environment, then that would be one of the avenues for which you could pursue that in economic policy. Don't recommend it, but it is great. Well, thanks, Daniel. So I'm gonna talk about import tariffs, which are a lot more prolific, if I can get that word out. We see them on pretty much everything. So that's so there's that. So if you bought it and it was made somewhere else, probably an import tariff on it. Literally too many examples to quantify. Our standard rate, we have a standard rate for countries. I don't have it right in front of me. I should have done that, but I didn't think about it until just now. But if you're a country, you try to do business with the US, you're automatically, all your goods have a tariff on them. So you can't really escape it unless you have a trade deal specifically with the United States that would get you out of having that import tariff. I think there was a good example we talked about in, I forget which of my business classes, but basically Ford was making their transit vehicles, and I should also mention that there are many different classes of tariffs on imports. So, there's a tariff on a car, but there would also be a tariff on like a truck, and then there's a tariff on a van, and then a van that is used for cargo and a van that's used for, people. So, Ford has gotten around this before by, they think they manufacture their transits in Turkey, and they manufacture them with the seat in the back, and then they ship them to the US because it's cheaper, and then they unbolt the back seat. I'm pretty sure that's the order in which it goes, because if they were to ship it as a passenger van, it would be tariffed at a higher rate. So
Ha
it's not necessarily the most efficient thing in the world, but it is, tariffs, import tariffs have had a very widespread use in the world and especially in the US. So I got a few stats in front of me for the US revenue. So I think it's probably widely known now that income tax makes up the majority of the government's revenue now by quite a wide margin. But between 1820 and 1860, the average budget of the US was made up about 85.2% from customs taxes, so import and export tariffs. So that's a big, interesting stat there. And now it's transitioned to about 4.8%, and that comes from CRS calculations of revenue data. So this is actually an interesting, we've seen it really decline. Obviously, the federal budget has grown exponentially from 1820, but it's still interesting to see how the US's budget has evolved. So why would you want an import tariff? Daniel talked a little bit about why export tariffs, if you want to save the economy, but or save the economy, but save the environment rather, or if you want to discourage trade abroad. Why would you do an import tariff? So this is a good time to introduce a phrase. People are probably familiar with this. We may have heard it thrown around before in politics, but trade protectionism. It's the idea that you need to protect your own country's industries from the global market. Now, what degree you believe in this or do not believe in this, that's there are a lot of different aspects of it. But whether or not the US should kind of shelter its industries from the global market. So, I grabbed one tariff from the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative. The U.S. currently has a let's see, international trade rate of 2% on industrial goods. So that would be like a basic one. So why would you put a 2% just tariff on goods? Well, if you wanted to shelter the U.S. industries, so for instance, we hear a lot of talk in politics about U.S. manufacturing jobs, and we need to protect those jobs, which it may be true, may not be. That's a matter of opinion. So the U.S. puts this tariff on there to make prices of goods coming from abroad more expensive proportionally to U.S. goods. So when you have a market, we talked about the supply and demand graphs a couple weeks ago, and the supply of a good, that's the whole, if you do the supply curve for the whole market, that would include the US and abroad. Well, you could take just the market of the US, the supply of that, and maybe it's more expensive. So for the US companies, it's more expensive to make it via, regulations. Maybe they don't have as good access to the inputs, so it's just a little bit more expensive to manufacture that good. Well, we don't want to lose our industry, right? Because the foreign suppliers have better access, maybe less regulations, and so they can produce that good for cheaper and they'll sell it for cheaper. So yes, yeah, some of the US companies will sell, but some will not. So if you put that 2% tax on there or whatever percent import tariff you have, it becomes that much more expensive to buy abroad, and it makes the international price in the US, if you will, a little bit higher. So that kind of puts the US at a more, I don't want to say advantageous, but they would often say level playing field, I guess. But that's a it's an interesting term when it comes to the economy. I don't know how accurately it can be used. So the main reason you would use an import tariff is to influence the market, which is the same reason, export tariff. But if you did not want to import something from a certain country in particular, so say you have a problem with China, then you would raise the import tariffs on Chinese goods. It is often used very politically in that respect. And I think Daniel may have touched on this. It can be internationally antagonistic to raise your import tariffs on a country. So, if you start raising the tariff on, whatever country, that country's probably going to get pretty upset because now they're going to do less business in your country. And if they're doing less business, and that some of that money goes towards the US government. So it is very, very antagonistic in that. So it is very much so used as a political tool. It will result in more expensive goods. If you were able to buy the good on the international market, whatever the price is, say it's $10, if you put an import tariff on it, it's going to end up raising the price. It's going to end up raising the price. And it's commonly known. The reason that they do it is to protect the industry. So it is, they're not thinking about consumers when they put in import tariffs, they're thinking about industry. So it's very much so on the supply side of things and the political side of things. So this is where politics and economics, it's not very efficient for the consumer. When you hear import tariffs are going up, that's generally not a good thing for you unless you work in that industry. So, when you listen to politics, you're listening to politicians give speeches on, we're going to increase tariffs, or, you know, NAFTA was a trade deal. You're looking at the trade deal. You look at those import tariffs. Well, if they raise import tariffs, that will result in more expensive goods for you. Again, trade protectionism is the big thing that kind of underlies that, to protect your own industry. That's the main force behind it. Besides, maybe if you just really wanted to get somebody politically, if you really had a problem with one country, you could raise the import tariffs. So we've seen that before many times, and I'm sure we'll see it again many times in the future. Not great, because it hurts everybody who buys that good, but yeah, it is very pervasive.
I think that was really good. I always love the decreasing supply and decreasing competition and how those kind of work together to increase mm-hmm. increase our prices. And of course, you know, there are differing opinions on that. It might protect jobs, and, you know, maybe everyone pays one extra dollar for a product and get all these jobs. Then a lot of times it comes down to that normative question that you were talking about. And, you know, economics doesn't necessarily answer it. It just tells mm-hmm. us what will happen. I think that was really good.
Yeah, I think this is probably a pretty short episode. Mm-hmm. I kind of rambled on there a little bit about that. This is like, we're like 17 minutes, so this may just be a little bit of a shorter one.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope your morning commute was as fast as our, no, it's our podcast.
I think that's it.
All right. Well, until next week.